Correction is the ability to see the truth and be willing to drop whatever you held before, unlearn and relearn. When you see a superior argument, you must give your inferior argument away. So Bible teaching will confront you with truths that will expose falsehood that you held on to before. For example, almost all of us here went to Sunday school back in the days. We were taught that Lucifer was a choir master in heaven. And we all believed it. But when I checked the Bible clearly, there was nothing like choir master in heaven. Talk more of appointing a man called Lucifer or an angel called Lucifer to be a choir master. There was not even a choir that was led by anybody. And then I checked again, Lucifer was not even created in heaven. Lucifer was created in Eden. Eden was where Adam also was. Because Lucifer was not created for God, he was created for Adam. If you read the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel and Isaiah unveils that in the day you were created in the Eden, so Lucifer was not created in heaven, he was created in Eden to serve man as the supernatural help of man who was a natural being. Are we teaching here? Okay, don't forget that all angels till tomorrow were created to serve man. That is why they serve Jesus, the man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man. To which of the angels said he, this is my beloved son. But all angels have been commanded to worship the son, the man. Hebrews 1:14. Are these not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? So all angels were created to serve man. And that's why after the fall of man, Jesus came as a man, defeated Satan. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise himself partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil, and deliver them who all through their lifetime were subject to bondage. Colossians 2:14 and 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Now the word spoil is not English. The word spoil in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 is not spoil, is the word disarm. So Jesus didn't shatter Satan. No, he only collected his armor of work and rendered him armorless. Where people say, Satan, I will kill you. They are just ignorant. Nobody can kill Satan. That's why when Jesus showed up, Satan would say to Jesus, have you come to destroy before our time? We know who you are. The Holy One of God. We have a time, so you can't do anything to us before that time. Are we teaching here? If I'm teaching, shout, I hear you. So he says to them, have you come to destroy? So having disarmed, spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, of them who were held captive by principalities and powers. He didn't get that. And having spoiled disarmed principalities and powers, he made a shoe of you. You that the principalities and powers held captive. When he disarmed them, you, he made a show of you, triumphing over them principalities and powers in it. You were made a show that the principalities and powers have been disarmed. I don't know if I'm communicating at all. He didn't make a show of principalities and powers. He made a show of the captives that were captured by the principalities and powers as a testimony of the victory that he has obtained. That's why today, the moment you believe the gospel, Satan is disarmed. He's watching you. You walk out of darkness into the kingdom of light, and he can do nothing about it. If I'm teaching good, somebody shout, I'm hearing you. So Paul now says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The word gospel simply means good news.
Now you have heard that message from Dr. Abel Damina. So that message looks very clean and very good. Neat. If you are sitting down looking at it, you will not be able to discern. You will not be able to say, this is where it is wrong. This is where it's wrong. This is, because it's clean. It's using scriptures. It's speaking things. All right. But let us analyze it. Like I say, you don't call a man fool, stupid, unless you prove it to be so. And the Bible says, even Satan, no angel brings any railing accusation against him. The word railing, like criticism, means baseless. Means you is unfounded, no evidence. You can't see people, somebody die, say, ah, Satan is the one that killed people. No. It must be investigated. People like Dr. Abel Damina laugh at the scripture that says that God said, let me go down and see whether what has been reported to me about Sodom is so. If it be so, then I will know. So he mocks that statement that how can the Almighty God, who knows everything, insist he must go down to Sodom? The reason Abel Damina thinks like that is because he does not know that God is running a government. And that God subjects himself to the same rule of that government. That is why when Jesus came as a man, he subjected himself to the law that was given by him through Moses to the people. For if God does not first of all keep the laws completely, then he has no right to charge us with fault who break the law. You get what I'm saying? For it will be that even God himself couldn't keep the law. Yet he asked us to keep the law. Praise the Lord. That it will, that is what it will be. So God, to prove that the law is holy, and that the law is spiritual, and that the law is true, and that the law is not a scam, that he wants to scam men, so that men will see their nakedness and see their inabilities. To prove that, he had to come down, alright? He had to send one of him. One of him, because we've proven yesterday by the testimony of John that there are three in heaven. There's the Father, his Word, and his Spirit. So he had to send one of him to come as human so that that one will now prove to the whole world that the law, it can be kept. All right?
Yes,
that the law is not burdensome. The law is not something that cannot be done. So Jesus broke no law. He perfected the law in himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is why he was able to now say, okay, now that I've perfected this, I can take it out of the way. I want to bring grace now. You get the point? So Jesus Christ came to prove that the law was holy and true and not a scam. Because everybody was failing at the law, even Moses. Even Moses failed. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Even Joshua failed when they entered Canaan. The commandment of Moses, he didn't keep it. God said, don't let anybody survive there. And some people came tricking him. He fell for the trick, only to discover that they were neighbors. And that was not proper. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen.
Amen.
So you find out that only Jesus did not miss the law, for he is the law himself. Therefore, he didn't break the law, for the law is in him and he is the law. That is why he wants to put the law in us. Instead of us observing the law and doing it, we now become law itself. So we can't break the law. That's why he said, I will make a new covenant with them. This new covenant is that I will put my spirit in them and my law, I will put it in them. So that instead of giving them laws, I will now put it inside of them. Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
So that is the new covenant. Jesus opens our spirit up and put the law inside. The Ten Commandments lives inside of us so that we can now live the law instead of observing the law. Are you going to say?
Yes,
praise the Lord. So, if you look at the statements he is making, they look clean as if the teaching is without fault. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said that superior teachings, when it manifests, you should be able to let go of your inferior position. so that you can now unlearn and relearn, throw away what you once learned that was false, and then learn the new thing that is superior to the other one. Okay? Which is true. And that's how life is. If you meet something superior, a superior argument, you must submit to it. But is this a superior argument? That's why I want to ask. Because he now said, for instance, all our days, in those Sunday school days, we were told that Lucifer was an angel, a choir leader in heaven, and that he had music instruments built into him. But when he searched the Bible, he saw that such was not so. And he said that Lucifer was not created in heaven. Lucifer was created in Eden. You heard all those ones. Lucifer was created for man, to minister to man, and all the angels were created for man. All right? This is what he said. And he quoted the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 14. He quoted that. Amen? And he quoted a lot of things where we're going to come to. Praise the Lord. But he quoted Isaiah and Ezekiel. So we want to find out. Not that we want to say, wow, yeah. No, if it's true, it's true. We want to find out, is it true? Is he right? Is his argument a superior argument? Should we surrender our own for him? That is, no, it's not a matter of saying, no. We will prove it. If we can't prove it, we fail. Then we surrender. Amen? Because the truth is what we are all after. We're not after, we don't worship humans. The truth is why the Bible was brought, so that we can find out the truth. Amen. You see, yesterday I told you there is something I am going to say so that you will understand where we are going. Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I use this because he said God does not live in heaven. So I used this yesterday. I wasn't really going to teach this yesterday. Then he said, okay, where was God before heaven and earth were created? And so wherever he is, because God changed not, that is where he is. And I told you that if that is the argument, it's a lame argument. I thought he was going to prove from another scripture how that God doesn't live in heaven. But he only reached a conclusion based on a reasoning, putting two and two together. Then I also put two and two together and I said, okay, if God changed not means location-wise, and God, and he also teaches that God lives in men. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then the question is, where was God when man was created? So if he changed not, then it means wherever he was, that is where he still is now. So we cannot say God lives in man. Because the scripture, the gospel tells us that Jesus, whom he says is the Father himself. Jesus is the one whom he calls the Father. Now, if the Father who him called Jesus said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. Now, another scripture says, I will come and dwell with you and in you. And that is still Jesus. So why do we take the one that says Jesus will live in us and throw the one that says our Father who art in heaven, when it is the same man that is saying it? It means it is selective discharge. You choose what you want, you drop what you don't want. That's not fair. Okay? So, Jesus has told us that there is a Father in heaven. And you say he doesn't live in heaven. And the reason you give is because where was he before he created heaven? Wherever he was, that is where he still is. And that is a lame argument. Because if it means that the God never moves, it means he never moved from there into our hearts. That is what it means. So it's a lame argument. Because man was also created in the earth. And God was there where he was before he created man. So why would you say that God lives in man? He has changed location when it came to you proving that God lives in man. But when it came to you saying that God lives in heaven, suddenly God does not change location. Lame argument. Meaningless argument. But let us go to what he has brought up today. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Look at column there. Please, always be careful when you are reading. Read punctuation marks. Punctuation marks are what make you know what you are reading. Full stop, question mark, column, semicolon, dash, hyphen, all those things that you see, they are not just, they are language in itself. They are also part of the statement. If you miss the punctuation mark, you will not know what you are reading. Semicolon is also a kind of explanation of what is about to come. Meaning, this is why the earth was void and without form. This is why. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So this statement I made, that the earth was void without form. Here is the thing that happened that caused it to be so. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Amen. Then stop. You see, stop there. So this other statement has nothing to do with it. It's another statement entirely. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So things are mentioned here. Darkness. And we know the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that God is light, and in him is no darkness nor shadow at all. That is even evening, even lesser light. There's no dark, there's no talk of shadow. You understand? Which means God has no darkness. So if God created heaven and earth, he must have created it in light. Because when God wanted to create, he said, God said, let there be light. So God couldn't have created heaven and earth in darkness. Because heaven and earth has already been created. But the earth was formless and void. So God cannot create a formless thing and a void thing. And then cannot create inside darkness. Has to be light. I'm getting somewhere. Amen. It is then God said, I don't want to walk in darkness. Let there be light. So light appeared. Then God started creating. This creation that you see here is not the first creation. I will prove it to you. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and God didn't tell us anything about heaven. Immediately, he took the attention from heaven and put it on the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
he took the attention from heaven and put it on. He never talked about heaven again. So we need to find out how come that the earth that God created suddenly became void. Without form. And then darkness covered it. So that we get to know whether truly angels were created for men. Because there's no passage in the Bible that says angels are created for men. That passage he read was Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. He said, let's read it. So that you can see. That giving your own interpretation to what already is clear as noonday is dangerous. Amen? Yeah. Hebrews 2. No, sorry. I mean Hebrews 1:14. Amen. Hebrews 1:14. Let us start from verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Which of the angels did he ever say that? None. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirit sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Is a question. Are they not all? Did you see any place where you say, are they not all created for men? They are sent. Who sent them? Meaning they are created for God, but God sends them occasionally to come to those that will believe, meaning you and I, to minister for us. So they don't stand and wait on us. They are sent, because when we pray to God, God hears the prayer and then sends them with answers to our prayer to come and help us. So they are not created for men, but for God to use to respond to men's needs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let us look at the book of Revelation. Before we come back to where we are, let's look at the book of Revelation. You know, when you are preparing to teach people, it's different from when you mount the podium, because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. Sometimes he leads you off your preparatory notes and all the rest. Send you where I want. Go this way. But you must be ready. Don't sit down. The Holy Ghost will just say, no, you have to be ready, prepared. But the Holy Ghost will tell you what part of that preparation he wants you to deal with first. Verse 11, Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Does this include angels?
Yes, sir.
All things. Does it include men?
Yes, sir.
All things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. And for God's pleasure, they are and were created. Did you hear that there is anything left out of God's pleasure? So God didn't create angels for men. He created angels for himself. But when men ask God for something, he sends the angel to minister for them. In Matthew chapter 4, the angels ministered to Jesus after the temptation. But here, he's not saying that he's sending his angels to minister to us, but to minister for us. That means that thing you want, tell this angel, he will do it for you. But who sends them? Meaning your prayer must reach God's place first before angels move. And even if God stations an angel with you to walk around with you, all right? The purpose of that angel is to minister, to help you in anything you will need. But his original reason for creation is for the pleasure of God. So you can't send an angel to go and do what is not in the program and the will of God. For if angels are created for you, then you can send them on errands that are not of God. So angels are not created for men to minister to men. Angels are created for God. God is the one who sent them. So you see that it's an error of understanding. See, it is good that Abel Damina accept that he is in error in some of this is teaching. Because Jesus said, if you were blind, you will have no guilt. But since you say you see, your guilt remains. Meaning when a man acknowledges, oh, I was wrong. Oh, I didn't see that part. Oh, it was a mistake. God will take away the guilt. But if the man says no, and he goes to look for another argument to stand on it, then he becomes guilty of it. And whatever happens to him is on his own. So that particular part of that teaching is already proven to be wrong. God didn't create man for man, an angel for man, but for himself, even the man for himself. But God sent forth angels to aid men. And particularly the men that are heirs of salvation, those who have inherited the salvation that Jesus Christ paid the price for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see that the teaching was looking very clean, very neat. The person that does not understand the scripture well will have been caught with that teaching. If Abel Damina was standing here preaching to you people, you will leave here feeling very great, believing you have heard something beautiful. Do you understand?
Yes.
But now you can see the fault in that teaching, the error in it. That is why it is not good to bring accusation without evidence. So we always play it to you to see the evidence. We are not just saying, he said, he didn't say. No, we scout for the evidence, we play it out. Then we sit down, analyze it, so that the people will know that we are not just saying what he didn't say. But that this is a teaching. Listen to it. We are not adding or subtracting. We are not against him or for him. We are only analyzing whether his position is really true or false, using the same scripture he is using. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, he made mention of Isaiah and Ezekiel, claiming that Satan was created in Eden. There is no such scripture in the Bible. But let's go to Isaiah and Ezekiel, because it will make me come back to Genesis first. All these things, you know, I took you to Genesis chapter 1, and I left verse 1 because that one, then I came to verse 2 and made you understand that something is wrong in verse 2. Because earth could not have been created inside darkness, or created by God and covered by darkness, when God has no darkness in him. So something happened there. Amen?
Yeah.
But let's go to Isaiah 14. That is what he's calling, because that's where Isaiah spoke about Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's go and see whether Isaiah told us that Lucifer was created in Eden. Hallelujah. Isaiah was talking about the fall of Babylon in chapter 14. Then suddenly Isaiah switched and showed the secret power behind Babylon. The spirit that is the governor of Babylon. See, that great worldwide empire that you are seeing is going to fall. And the people didn't believe that Babylon can fall. You see, there are certain things that you don't believe can end or can happen. Amen? If they tell you some things will happen, you say, no. Your mind cannot comprehend how it happens. Babylon spread over the whole world. And it was the most powerful city on earth. To imagine the fall of Babylon, only God can imagine it. Men everywhere that ever opposed Babylon fell. So who is this person that will rise up and topple Babylon? Amen.
Amen.
That is why when Daniel was advising Nebuchadnezzar, stop the things you are doing, maybe God will lengthen your days. Nebuchadnezzar listened to Daniel out of respect, because Daniel was a favorite of his. But he was walking on top of his roof and he was thinking, but come on, who will even be this person that is going to overthrow me? Because if you remember in chapter 3, or is it 2 or 3, he had a dream. And when Daniel interpreted the dream, Daniel told him, you are that gold head. And God has given you the whole earth. And nobody can challenge you. After you is when another kingdom will come that is silver. So now he's thinking, if Daniel said, that in dream I had is that I'm the gold head and I rule the world and God has given me everything in the world, who is this person that will now challenge me? Where was Babylon when I took over from my father? His father was king before him and he took over from his father. He was a general before. When his father was dying, he was summoned to come back, and then the kingdom was passed over to him among all his brethren. He was the one that the father chose. And all his brethren are now subject to him, who have been sent abroad to be rulers of various territories and domain that the Babylonian Empire have conquered. So they are princes. Some of them are federal ministers. So who is this person that I should bow down to that I will not talk proudly? Am I not the one that took Babylon from where it was into where it is now? How much did my father conquer? It is me that turned this empire into what it is now. He was just thinking all this thing. So why would I fear anything? And as the word was in his mouth, God sent the angel to strike him and to do all that he said it would happen. Until he realized that there is a ruler higher than every man. That was when he now realized, okay, I was not afraid of God. I was afraid of any other man. I didn't see any other man. So I became pompous. I humbled myself now. So now this kingdom has held the whole world. And the whole world could not see the end of it. They couldn't see the end of that kingdom. It was almost impossible. So Isaiah now is prophesying the fall of Babylon. Then Isaiah now switched from just the ordinary to the spirit realm to reveal who is the person that is behind Babylon and how that person fell from heaven. So because he fell, even this kingdom that is raising now will also fall in time to come. So this is why he now says, in verse 12, how art thou fallen? From where? From heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning, morning sun, morning star.